Broadcasting live from the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in the ASTD International Convention and Expo.
Lee Cantor with Stone Payton at ASTD 2014, or is it now is being called ATD 2014. Stone, big news yesterday. ASTD is now ATD. We have an intro. Everything changes now.
Well, I know, and it's made some kind of impression on you because you've mentioned it on every segment.
Because it's news.
You don't adapt. It's news. You don't adapt to change particularly well.
I'm going kicking and screaming to ATD.
That's right. But we'll probably. I'm sure we'll be here next year. I think you can expect to have us here next year, and we will have everything. Will be rebranded, your intro and all that stuff. So jump on and enjoy the ride, man. Relax. It's going to be fine. This is going to be a fun segment. We have with us training manager with Sanofi. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Ms. Nancy Giard. How are you doing?
Right. Great. Good this morning. Thank you.
So now how did you take the change, ATD?
Well, I'm really excited. As a former chapter president, this is really great news for the brand, I think. I think it brings us up to and ahead of perhaps the workforce now. So kind of like Tony said, we are now able to position ourselves more around training and development and aligning with the business needs better, I think, with this new ATD.
Now, what's ATD stand for?
So,
is that a trick question? Put you on the, you got the pin on.
Yeah, the pin. It says ATD
it's
on
association,
the pin, right?
Either association. Of or for talent development.
Talent
now.
Development.
The T is now talent.
Yeah. I'm still working on it.
Okay.
Gosh, like 12 hours later.
Yeah, really.
So now, this conference is a big deal every year. What brings you here?
I do like to come here. There's several reasons. I get exposed to all of the thought leaders here, so it's always great for me to hear from great speakers. And for me, I get an opportunity to meet face-to-face with each of my vendors on the expo floor and hear about what's new with them, see different products that I may be interested in that we're currently not using. And most of all, I really build a network here. Over the years of coming, the relationships I've built have just expanded, and that really puts a lot of contacts in my toolbox. When I have help that I need, I have a lot of places to go to reach out. I do spend quite a bit of time connecting as well.
So that's kind of one of those neat benefits of being, especially a leader in one of these organizations, is that Rolodex you build, that if you have a question or a problem, you can reach out to someone. And would that be a tip for somebody new in the industry?
Yeah, I think it would be a great piece of advice for somebody new. And the comfort that you have at doing your job and your ability to be successful back in your own private situation can really be driven by the connection of the network that you have and the broader professional community. And I think the sooner you can start to build that out, the more you're going to be able to take advantage of that.
Now, how do you build, what are some strategies to build that in a network? Well, you can't just go up to people and go, hey, be in my network,
Actually, I've seen a couple of people do that.
Yeah, sometimes I just plop down next to somebody and start up a conversation and I don't know them. I think, give me the question again.
It's just, how do you build strategies to build a good network?
For me, it's most important to start at the local level because that's where I can go every month. And so I start and base a lot of my networking locally by going to the ASTD meetings.
Uh-huh. But yeah. Do you just attend or did you volunteer for stuff and be a leader locally?
Well, yeah, so it would start by attending the meetings. And for me, my network grew when I volunteered for ASTD, took on some roles on the board or to help the local chapter. And then that brought me to this conference, and it just sort of blossomed from there.
But it was you taking action. It wasn't you just joining. Like a lot of people join things, they pay their dues, and just they don't do anything, and they're like, this doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely something you have to do. The networking does not come to you, and you've got to stick your hand out there, too. It's not just going to the event. You've got to mix with people, talk with people, maybe introduce yourself to the presenter. I think that's another great tip. Anytime you go see a presenter, go shake their hand. It's hard to catch them before because we all are presenters and we know what we're like before we go on. So that's not good to do to a speaker. But I think afterwards, I always try to make a point of shaking hands with the speaker. I don't expect they remember me or think I'm famous or anything like that. But it's great to build that connection.
Right. And then it's nice to be appreciated that,
yeah, they like hearing that, especially after they're done talking. You come up there with some positive feedback.
Right.
That's
that goes
very
a long
welcome,
way.
I'm sure.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you, our experience has been, and we've had conversations with a lot of folks, senior level executives inside some pretty large, complex organizations, luminaries from the industry. These are very approachable folks who are, they're not just invested in the market. They're invested in the community and the profession. They want to share. They want relationship. And it's just a matter of choosing yourself and choosing, look, I'm going to be a part of this. I'm going to contribute to this ecosystem. And you're obviously an example of that. I do have a question about how you prepare going to something like this. Do you rally the team around like a week or two ahead of time and say, okay, gang, I'm going, or a few of us are going. What do we want to accomplish when we get there? What are some things we want to learn? Or do you maybe pull the senior team and say, hey, you're investing in us going there. We've got some of our own objectives. But are there some things you'd like us to accomplish while we're there? Do you do some of that that preparation on the front end?
Yeah, I actually do. I talked with my manager, and I presented her with a list of about 7 or 8 objectives I had to accomplish here for this year. I shared those then after I got the okay with her, with my colleagues, my trainers that I work with on my direct team, got inputs from them. They're familiar with the conference. One of them is here for part of the conference. They also gave me some things they wanted me to look at while I was here and bring back to the team. So I will be doing that.
And I'm sure she said, look, don't even come back if you don't visit with Lee and Stone on the radio. Don't even come back.
Exactly.
That was number one on the list.
It is good we're squeezing this in before I have to leave.
So now, have any of the education sessions been special for you this time around?
Maybe
next year.
I did see a really great session. The one that stands out the most really was demonstrating a learning solution. Okay, and so what happened was the training person that was in charge of the project was told, we need a training program. I do not want it to be classroom based, and I do not want it to be e-learning. It's along the line of animation. So what happened was he worked with a vendor, and they created 45 visual assets, movies, those sketch movies, QR codes, podcasts, and they built all of the training and learning content into these little experiences. And that actually rolled that out to 30,000 people. It was super successful in a totally non-traditional way.
So Lee's heebie-jeebies about this thing called change aside. change is constant. We all know that. A lot surely has changed in the time that you've been involved in the profession. Can you speak a little bit to living through some of those changes and what vision, if any, you have, some things you think are coming down the pike and maybe even are excited about?
Yeah. Definitely. I've been in the field 15 years or more, and within the last, I'd say, 5 years or so, there's definitely been a lot of changes. I think things you need to know now that you did not need to know 5 years ago are really critical, and change is one of them. Change management, from my experience, is part of every training program I'm being asked to develop now. That didn't used to happen.
Right.
And also, all of our training programs, we're having to do more marketing around. And trainers didn't used to have to do marketing. I have to, entice people to come into
the
trainings.
You got to sell them internally.
So before you just had to do the program, and now your part of your job is getting people to engage with the program, participate, and sign up?
Yeah, and related to that is that we've implemented social communities as part of our training solution. So we have a training experience, and then we build an online community where people can come and continue that conversation there.
So that's new. Those are different skills, right?
Yeah, yeah. How'd you
learn those?
On the fly, from your neighbor. Hassling the person in the next cube that's the expert, that kind of a thing. So I think, trainers just needing to be more savvy to those technical things. And I think mobility has been on the scene here in the last 5 years. And what I think will happen in the next 2 or 3 years is, we've been talking about mobility and communities, and some are starting to use them. Some are a little bit further down the road. And there's a lot, though, that still aren't even there. I mean, I talked to somebody today whose company is considering making their first e-learning and not doing classroom.
Wow.
So there's a broad spectrum there. And what I think will happen maybe in 2 or 3 years is that everybody's going to be really using these tools.
Yeah.
And those that are ahead are really going to be leading the way with what are the best practices for those. And hopefully as that adoption's a little tighter, they'll have some good examples for us to follow and some lessons that I'm sure that we'll learn from too.
Now, have you gotten the neuroscience bug yet? It seems like a lot of the people are interested in that.
I would love to learn more about it. I'm so interested in everything related to the industry, and it is something I haven't been able to look much into. I am very interested in it, though. There's a lot of talk about it.
A lot of sold-out sessions, huh?
Yeah, and I hear a lot about the science of happiness and, you know, as well as, you know, the brain cognition related to learning. But I think there's a lot going on now about people's mental state, basically, as it relates to how they can perform.
It's such a fun, high-energy bunch. And you guys, you're really good about sharing what you know, or at least what you think you know, with each other. I mean, you're a very collaborative crowd, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, teachers and probably trainers, too, from way back, have been known for stealing stuff from each other forever, since the beginning of time. I mean, my degree is in education, and they told me in college, don't do it. If somebody else has done it, take it, make it yours, you know? So that continues.
So what's the best way for our listeners to reach out? If they want to just have a conversation with you, maybe other people in the ATD arena.
Oh, I got to get used to that.
You, like, I don't know, a LinkedIn, a Twitter, an email.
Yeah, definitely. You can find me on LinkedIn. And I can give my email address?
Whatever you like.
All right.
This is all about you, Nancy. This is all about you.
It's all about me. Nancy hour.
So you can write to me at giard.nancy@gmail.com.
All right. Well, Nancy, it has been an absolute delight visiting with you. Thanks so much for coming and hanging out with us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, we will be back in a few from the show floor of ASTD ICE 2014.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.